When it comes to the plant-based eating debate, there's more to consider than just healthy or unhealthy. Of course, we want to eat things that make us feel good and generate energy to keep us going, but there's also a major environmental component that drives a lot of people to a plant-focused diet. But you don't have to give up some of your faves entirely. Impossible Foods makes meat from plants. They're solving the meat problem with more meat. By creating delicious meat from plants that's better for you and the planet, Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, homestyle meatballs, sausage patties, all made from plants. And that's just a few of their delicious and versatile options. No more tension between craving meat but not wanting to eat so much of it, or sacrificing your carnivorous faves for your health. Indulge in nutrient-packed, plant-based goodness and feel good doing it. Check out impossiblefoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's impossiblefoods.com.
Just a reminder that Diet Starts Tomorrow is a podcast for entertainment purposes only. It is not a medical podcast and does not constitute medical advice. Always seek the advice of a physician or a health professional. Hello and welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Emily.
And I'm Lauren.
And we're back, betches.
We're here.
We're
back.
We're back.
Forever and ever.
We've been here. Guys, today we're doing a Dear DST, but before we do that, we're going to do a food pinions.
Yay, we love food pinions.
So I wanted to talk to you about something really quick before we get into this food pinions. So we did food pinions a few episodes ago, actually a handful of episodes ago, and there was a clip up on the DST page.
Oh, this will be good to recap. Yeah.
Okay. So basically, if you guys didn't hear it, we did Twizzlers versus Red Vines because I had a very confusing experience going to the movies. And I asked my friend to get me Twizzlers and she brought me Red Vines. And I was like, these are not the same.
Yeah. We were on the same page. It was ridiculous.
Ridiculous. They are so not, I mean, they look kind of similar, but they do not taste similar. And Lauren even did a blind taste test. You did not know what you were trying. Mm-mm. And we both agreed Red Vines are disgusting and Twizzlers are delicious.
Yeah, I thought it was just like a universal thing.
Like a given, yeah. Right? We put this clip on Instagram and TikTok and the internet was ablaze. The Red Vines fans.
I could not believe how split it was. I had no idea.
Split? Lauren, no, it was overwhelmingly pro Red Vines.
Really? Let me check the poll.
Oh my God.
Because we did a poll on the Instagram.
Rebecca is looking at me like her mind is so blown. I am so shocked.
There's Red Vine stands out there.
Not only are there Red Vine stands, there's a Red Vines community.
There's a Red Vines movement.
And the Red Vines community was upset with us. And you know what a very common thing that people kept saying?
Oh, Red Vines won.
Oh yeah, by how much?
64% voted Red Vines.
That's a lot.
36 Team Twizzler. How many each? Does it say?
Yeah, let's see how many votes. That, like, my mind was so blown, and it shouldn't be, right? Because I obviously, like, I knew that there were some people who liked Red Vines because they exist, right? Like, somebody must be buying them, but I didn't realize, like, the cult following.
We were in a Twizzler bubble.
I was in a Twizzler bubble, but this is like, it illuminated for me a problem that I see on the internet, which is like, no matter what you say, even if it's perfectly respectful, somebody said this to me and I can't remember who it was. Sorry, I can't credit you. Said, all you have to do on the internet is say, I love pancakes. And then suddenly people are coming at you like, oh, so you fucking hate waffles?
What about waffles?
Yeah, exactly. So like,
you don't like a crepe? What's wrong with crepes?
This really like illuminated a lot for me because I was like, wow. There are people who are genuinely mad at me for saying I prefer Twizzlers.
No, they were in the streets.
But then, you know, I was talking to my brother about it and he was like, you know, people love to root for the underdog. So maybe that's it. Like maybe the Red Vine stands feel very protective over Red Vines.
Maybe.
I think
they're just unwell. They don't taste good.
No, they really don't. So the common thing that people kept saying was that Twizzlers taste like plastic. So here's the thing. I can I can meet you halfway.
We like plastic. We both like American cheese plastic.
Yes. So cheese. Like, I actually like the texture because I like that it's chewy, but I understand if that's not your thing. My thing is the flavor. Red Vines have such a cough syrupy flavor, whereas Twizzlers taste like strawberry.
It tastes like candy. Twizzler tastes like a sugary, yummy candy.
Right. Whereas Red Vines taste like Robitussin.
Take this and your cough will be gone in 3 to 5 days.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think like maybe it's a taste versus texture. Like if you prioritize texture, then maybe you would like the Red Vines more. Okay. So that was one thing I noticed. And then the other thing I noticed was that somebody commented that it's an East Coast, West Coast thing.
You know, it's the doctors because Dr. Dodell and Dr. Alexis Connison, who did the podcast, they were, you know, playfully fighting in the comments for, I forget who's Team Twizzler, who's Team Red Vine. If they listen, they're probably going to write in.
I remember. It was Dr. Alexis's Team Twizzler.
Okay.
She said she had never heard of Red Vines until Dr. Dodell introduced her to
them.
Same
as me and you.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't know about Red Vines.
I did not know about them.
So maybe it is like, I think whether it's an East Coast, West Coast thing or just like it's what you grow up with, I think we just, we have this nostalgia for the thing that we were used to when we were younger.
Whether it's empirically good or not.
Right. You know? And like you associate that taste with good, happy memories, I suppose. So like for me, Twizzlers was, that was the movie snack. Right. So like naturally I would like that more. But also Red Vines taste like trash. Sorry if I'm ruffling feathers right now. Anyway, I just needed to get that off my chest because it was so mind-blowing to me. I mean, there were like...
I wasn't expecting it.
There were a few Twizzler people in the comments, but it was overwhelmingly pro-Red Vine. And it's just one of those things, like, you learn something new every day. And that's what Foodpinions is all about.
That's what Foodpinions is all about, people.
Which brings me to what we're going to get into.
Do you have a Foodpinion?
For Foodpinions. I have a Foodpinion, okay? And this is something that we touched on in another episode, and I was like, we need to bring this back for Foodpinions because there's so much to say. My food opinion is I love a weird salad.
Stan a weird salad.
The weirder, the better.
I'm in a weird salad fan club.
In fact,
Presidente.
If it's not weird, I don't want it.
I don't want it.
I don't want.
Actually, I do like a nice little chopped romaine Caesar salad.
I was just going to say, do you like a Caesar salad?
So I like a Caesar.
Caesar salad is one of those things. I do like them. Like, it's delicious. But it could stand to add a few more things. Like, it's just cheese and croutons and lettuce. I feel like if you chopped up some tomatoes, it would elevate the salad. No, you don't like tomatoes?
I'm not a tomato girly. I think it's like juicy boogers.
Do you know what I hear people say? Tomatoes are like organs. Do you feel that way?
Oh, God, no. I don't feel like they're like organs, but I do feel like, you know, when I get like a gag reflex when I chop tomatoes in my little, like, recipes that I get in those boxes and
like meal kit.
Yeah, the meal kits. And then once it's cooked in or once I make a sauce or whatever, it's fine. But cutting it, I'm just like, whoa.
That's me like with onions. I hate well, I hate raw onions.
Yeah.
And I hate cutting them for obvious reasons. But then if they're caramelized into something, delicious.
Right.
I love it. But like, but also don't tell me there's an onion in it.
But the tomato goo, like who doesn't? Well, I'm Southern, so I guess we have like our whole fried green tomato thing. And
oh, yeah, those are good.
People eat them like apples and stuff.
So I squeeze the goo out of it.
To not eat the goo.
Yeah, like if I'm cutting a tomato and putting it in a salad, I cut a hole in the tomato and then I squeeze like a water balloon. I like deflate the tomato.
I always like brush it to the side on my chopping board, on my cutting board.
Yeah, but then like everything gets all wet.
Yeah, it's yucky.
It's a big old mess.
That's my food opinion is I don't like tomatoes if they're on their own.
Honestly, that's a hot take, but not really because I have heard that like a lot of people have a weird tomato thing.
I could be a basic bitch tomato girl, anti-tomato girl.
Everybody's basic about something.
Yeah.
You know, like even my onion thing. It's like, yeah, hot take, Emily. Nobody likes chopping onions. Like, why are you hosting this podcast?
I'm every woman.
It's all in me, chopping onions.
You know what you can do to cry less when you chop onions?
Tell me.
This is a TikTok I saw. You stick your tongue out while this is going to be hard to talk while my tongue's out, but.
You don't have to put you just describe it.
While you are chopping the onions, your tongue is out.
Uh-huh.
And then the this is very scientific what I'm about to say. The stingy particles of the onion.
Yeah.
They are attracted to moisture. So instead of going to your eye, your wet eyeballs, it goes into your wet tongue. And then your eyes are, your face. And then your eyes are burning less.
But now I have like onion gases really, in my mouth.
You can't really taste it. It's not like,
No.
It's like this.
It's more like the thought of it. Do you know what somebody told me one time? If you chew mint gum, I haven't tested this, but apparently if you chew mint gum while you're chopping onions, then you also don't cry.
I'll try it.
Try it and report back. I don't buy it. But back to the salad conversation. Do you have a favorite weird salad? Or like what's a weird salad that you've had that you enjoyed?
So I'm new to the weird salad club. I think this is how we got started on this is, you know, we went to that dinner and there was the arugula and there were beets and there were nuts and it's nothing I ever would have ordered.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, this is delicious. Mm-hmm. Like I like beets, I guess.
Yeah. You
know? And
I love beets, golden beets.
They're so good.
So good. But I get what you mean because like that salad didn't really feel like a salad.
I would never pick it out, you mm-hmm. know? And then I had a salad the other day and I split it with a friend. We were at an Italian restaurant and I didn't. Do you ever order a salad and then it's not what you think you ordered? It's like.
Usually.
This actually happens at Greek restaurants a lot. Like if you're at a really authentic Greek restaurant and you order a Greek salad, it's actually just chopped up cucumbers and tomatoes and onions and like olive oil.
Yeah, it's called a horiatiki salad. That's like the traditional
right.
Greek salad. It doesn't have any lettuce, but then if you order the Greek village salad, that would have lettuce.
Oh, okay.
Hot tip.
You should live in Astoria with me.
I used to live there.
That's how you know it.
Yeah, I went to all the Greek restaurants around there.
I learned the hard way. Like, this isn't a salad.
But you don't. Do you like it? I like the one without lettuce.
No, for a Greek salad, I like some romaine. In it.
Okay, so this is like kind of a subset of the weird salad because I used to actually go to places and I would order salads without lettuce.
Oh.
Sometimes I feel like
it's the like lettuce, a bowl of veggies.
Yeah, like yeah. And it's less filler. Like I kind of like I was off the lettuce game for a while. Like I was out of the lettuce club.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm like weird salad curious. You okay. know?
Wait, but what was the weird salad that you got?
Oh, right. We split this salad. I thought it was going to have lettuce in it, but there was no lettuce in it. It was shaved red cabbage. Oh. And there were, I think, Kalamata olives, some little citrus, what do you call it? Like little pieces of, like little tangerines were in it.
Little tangerines?
Little tangerines, nuts.
Okay.
Some sort of vinaigrette. And it sounds like it makes no sense, but this restaurant knew what it was doing, and it was so good.
No, it sounds really good.
And I was like, why do I love this weird salad?
I might order another one.
But you're a weird salad expert. You've been doing this for a while.
I'm very into weird salad. Like I said, I mean, this was like a 10-year phase that I went through that I would, every time I ordered a salad, I would say, can you do that without lettuce? And here's the thing.
Can I get this omelet, no egg?
Yeah. So people would stare at me. Yeah, exactly. Like that's the main ingredient. So often people would stare at me. And one time a waiter told me, yeah, I can do it without lettuce, but just so you know, it's going to be like the tiniest salad ever. And then I changed my order because that told me that like there was nothing in the salad.
They weren't prioritizing the other ingredients.
No, they weren't. And sometimes if you order the salad without lettuce, they'll give you more of the stuff that you actually want. But sometimes they'll just leave out like everything. So you actually don't have anything.
It's like if you order a cocktail, but no ice, so you get more drink.
Yeah. So yes, it's like that. Like sometimes I'll go to this coffee shop and I'll get a iced coffee, but I want to bring it home for later. So
iced
I'll
coffee,
ask.
Coffee, no ice.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah. I'll ask for no ice. But then depending on which barista is working there that day, they'll either fill it to the top or they'll fill it halfway. And I get really upset when they fill it halfway.
I think that's the right word, but narc.
But it's that vibe.
Yeah.
It's that vibe because it's like, oh, what? You're scared your manager is going to get upset that you filled it to the top for me? I get really upset about it.
I'm upset.
Warmer weather is finally back. After so many cold months, it's nice to get outside and soak up the sun. But the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring spring flowers and sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I suffer from seasonal allergies. I just had them hit the other day. I couldn't breathe through my nose at all. And I popped a Claritin and it was like night and day. I'm a huge fan of Claritin. I use it on the regular and it always helps when we're making that transition from winter to spring, which is when my allergies flare up. Mainly it's my sinuses that get so clogged and the Claritin just clears it right up. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy throat and nose, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live your life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
When it comes to the plant-based eating debate, there's more to consider than just healthy or unhealthy. Of course, we want to eat things that make us feel good and generate energy to keep us going, but there's also a major environmental component that drives a lot of people to a plant-focused diet. But you don't have to give up some of your faves entirely. Impossible Foods makes meat from plants. They're solving the meat problem with more meat. By creating delicious meat from plants that's better for you and the planet, Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, homestyle meatballs, sausage patties, all made from plants. And that's just a few of their delicious and versatile options. No more tension between craving meat but not wanting to eat so much of it, or sacrificing your carnivorous faves for your health. Indulge in nutrient-packed, plant-based goodness and feel good doing it. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there, and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles, but right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with two U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. I made this salad for Christmas Eve a few years ago to bring to my sister's house, and everyone loved it. And I almost didn't make it because not only does it not have lettuce, it's just like kind of a weird combination, but it's from a very good cookbook by Marcella Hazan. Do you know her?
No.
She has this cookbook that's like classic Italian cooking, and it has a recipe for like pretty much everything. Her tomato sauce recipe is to die for. Ooh. And it's really easy to make.
Is it just like blended vegetables?
It's tomatoes from a can, so like whole tomatoes that you put in, a whole shallot and onions, like whole onions that you put in, or maybe you cut them in half. I don't know, but it's not as much chopping as you would think.
I've seen these videos where people just throw things in the oven or in the blender and then
like whole.
Yeah.
And then, but you also put butter. And also making this sauce, I realized like, oh, this is how Italian restaurants make sauce taste so good.
Butter.
Like they're putting a stick of butter in it.
Hell yeah.
But like you need to. And a little bit of cream, whatever. I'm not saying the recipe 100% right, but it's very simple. You need to look it up, Marcella. But this salad is, I'm going to show you a picture. It's sliced oranges, sliced avocados, radishes, basil, and then like a little try bit this. Of a vinaigrette. Look at it.
Yeah. And you know what? I think this is a hot take too, Emily, because I bet you a lot of people wouldn't call it a salad. Like, is something
what would you
a,
call it, though?
Is something a salad if there's no lettuce? Is another
a great philosophical question. I think
question
it is
for the ages.
I think if it's a bowl of like tossed veggies, it's still a salad. Oh, here's another question.
But then what isn't a salad? Can you just throw in?
See, this is where we start getting into dark territory. No, because I used to work. So I used to work in an office, and I had a friend in the office who came to me one day, and she was like, "You know, when you think about it, you can categorize all foods as a sandwich or nachos." And I was like, you lost me. Like, I don't like this food philosophy. You know, when people are like, is a hot dog a sandwich? I'm like,
no, it's a hot dog.
Exactly. And like, can we not?
Oh yeah. I was being an asshole just for fun. Being no. like, is anything a salad?
But like, that's, I can't go there. Yeah. I can't go there.
I feel you.
I don't know why.
Backtracked.
But anyway, yeah. So that salad was really good. And like, I didn't think anybody would want it.
It's so pretty.
It's so pretty. The presentation like makes it taste better too.
Is that cilantro you said that's on top?
I think it's basil.
Basil.
Yeah, but it's just super simple. You like grind a little sea salt on top. It's so good. And it's great for a meal. Like, I think we had it with ravioli. Mm-hmm. So it's like good with a meal that's substantial, because then you have your like vegetable plate on the side, but it's not a whole
and
thing.
And there's fat in it too, which is great with yeah. avocado.
Hell yeah. So
notice
that
I didn't
good.
Say good fat, because fat is not good or bad.
I'm proud of you. Although I would expect nothing less.
But I'm just bragging to the listeners.
No, but you know what? I used to say that all the time.
So many people say it. And
was like the big thing. Like yeah. avocados are the good
fat. It's a
fat.
Good fat. It's like, bitch. Food isn't good or bad.
Also, animal fat has benefits too. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever. We don't categorize foods as good or bad.
But we love some fat.
I love fat. I really do. I love fat and I love the fats.
We love you too, Emily.
Okay. So this was something that I wanted to ask you about, because this Please. Is a very divisive thing in my household, in my family.
Oh, okay.
Fruit in salads. So I did just show you.
I'm pro.
Really? So I'm pro, but only in specific situations.
Oh, I'm hardcore.
Really? You'll just throw a grape. You'll just toss a grape.
A grape, a craisin, a strawberry. I feel like I went to high school when Wendy's was having all of their like salad phase.
I don't remember this.
Remember this? Wendy's had like a salad utopia where it was like 9 different salads, and they all had like mandarins, or one had strawberries, and they had goat cheese, and they were so good. And I miss those salads.
I call that a meaty salad.
Yeah.
Like when it has like like heft to it.
And it was romaine and like iceberg, so it was really easy to eat and crunchy and it just tasted really good.
Yeah, so I'm like fruit specific. Like, I have never liked a strawberry in a salad.
I like a strawberry.
Yeah, and it's a common thing.
Apples?
Absolutely not.
Really?
No. But like the oranges in that avocado and orange salad, like it worked. But I wouldn't just toss an orange. Oh, but if it's like, if it's a Chinese chicken salad, yeah, mandarin oranges. Yeah, so good. But I wouldn't just, it needs to make sense thematically. Does that make sense?
It does.
So my sister, and we were talking about this because the early 2000s, I feel like that was a time that we were just tossing
I'm saying. That's what Wendy's was doing. It was fruit.
Oh, was it? So it was like in the early 2000s?
How old was I?
You remember?
Actually, yeah, I went to high school 2004 to 2007.
So that was the window, right?
Yeah, those were the good salads.
So like the early 2000s, that's when we were just like throwing apples and craisins into everything willy-nilly.
You're making me hungry. That sounds really good.
That's what Food Pinions does.
Get some walnuts, some crumbled cheese.
Lauren, you're killing me because my sister is 8 years older than me. She's stuck in that time.
Yeah.
And so she puts walnuts, craisins, and apples in everything.
Well, you know what's good about the walnuts and the apples is that you can crunch them. It's fun. Yeah. It's fun eats.
Yeah, not for me. I don't want it in my salad.
I need an activity.
I don't want it in my salad.
I like the crunchy texture.
Wait, but do you know what I do like? Apples and cranberries in tuna salad.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that?
Yeah.
That shit's fire.
Wait. hold on, chicken. I was thinking of chicken salad.
Well, that's good too.
I don't know if I would like craisins and fish. Like, I have the ick now. If I think about
I understand a craisin. I get why you would say that, but like, just try it.
Okay.
It's good. But that was all the rage in like 2004, around the same time. Mm-hmm. But now, like, that's the only way Melissa Lubin can eat tuna. That's the only way with she fruit. Can eat a salad. Yeah, she has economy size containers of walnuts and craisins. And it's just not my thing, but I understand. I
mean, good for her that she has the time to make that. I feel like the only reason I'm not having salads on a regular basis is all because the chopping. All the what?
All the chopping.
Oh, I can chop. I feel like
I just feel like it's so time consuming.
I'm going to Betches, or I'm going to a comedy show, or I'm going to a podcast. And it's like, when am I cooking? You know, when am I going to grocery shop and buy an apple and chop it into little pieces and put it in a container and then chop a strawberry and put it in a container?
Right.
And it's really hard to plan to how prep. You're, going to eat.
How do you feel about the bag salads? I love bagged salads.
I like the idea of bag salad. I feel like I'm Charlie Brown in the football with bag salads. I fall for it every time. You know, I'm like, oh, this is going to be so good. And then when I finally get to open the bag, it's just like wet leaves, you know?
Oh, interesting.
I'll wait like 2 days and it'll go bad.
Interesting. I get the ones from Trader Joe's and usually they're good, but I do consume, I consume them within a few days.
Yeah.
But they're just so easy.
I know. I want to.
It's spruced up my salad game. Interesting. I wouldn't have pegged you for a craisin or fruit in the salad, girl.
It's just an early. And you know what? I think it's an early 2000s dieting thing,
it's
too.
It's something that carried over.
Those would be my dieting years, would be high school, you know?
Yeah. Well, you've brought this up before. Like, certain foods, they hit you at a certain time and then like, maybe they used to be diety, but then they become something that actually is good to
you. They transform. Diet culture rebrands foods in the worst ways. Like, we're having so much fun talking about salads, but diet culture will make you think that salad is the enemy or something you have to hold your nose and eat to, like, be good and be healthy.
No, but it's like, put some good stuff in there.
Yeah, vegetables can be fun. Cottage cheese can be fun. Rice cakes aren't fun. I don't know where I'm going with this.
They're definitely not
fun. Rice cakes are not fun.
No. I mean, if you have a hack that makes them fun, let me know. But also, I'm not sure I believe you.
It's like dip it in a vat of Nutella.
That's fun. Although so is dipping a banana in Nutella.
Anything in Nutella.
Literally anything else.
Bury me in Nutella.
Like, there's nothing that I can think of that a rice cake improves. Does that make sense? Like, there's nothing I can think of. Like, there are things that would be fine with a rice cake, but there's nothing I can think of where a rice cake is the better alternative.
Mm-mm.
And that's my food opinion about rice cakes.
I think we just gave like 9 food opinions instead of the one on weird salads.
That was a lot
salads.
Of food opinions.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, Good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Let's move on to our Dear DST.
Yes.
Would you like me to read this one?
I would love it.
Okay.
Read this one.
Hi, Emily and Lauren. Growing up with an almond mom in the 90s and 2000s diet culture, I've taken many steps to unlearn things that have hurt me for much of my life. Part of this desire to unlearn was so that I could be a good example for my kids and ensure that they never feel like their worth is defined by their bodies and what they look like.
That's which so
is,
nice.
Yeah, which is how I felt growing up. You know, it's a great reason. Like when people say, I want to break the cycle and I don't want to pass it down to my kids. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. That's how we beat this. Mm-hmm. Now on to my question. About 6 months ago, my two youngest kids started a new daycare. Early in our time there, I went to pick them up and one of their classrooms had a side-by-side chart that they made of healthy and unhealthy foods. These are in quotes. I never say anything is, quote, unhealthy, and I have intentionally taught my oldest, who's a first grader, that nothing is bad for you as long as you eat a variety of things. So when I saw the healthy slash unhealthy thing in my 2- and 4-year-old's classes, I went up to the center director's office and mentioned my concern to her. She acknowledged it and kind of brushed it off, saying that it wasn't a big part of the curriculum. After that, I've seen it come up in their class plan every few weeks. Since the director didn't really acknowledge my concern the first time, how can I try to make change? I know the school is the one that makes the curriculum, so I don't know if speaking to the teachers would change anything. What do you suggest? Is this something I should just continue being consistent with at home? Or is this something that's worth fighting for more with the school? Yours truly, trying not to be an almond mom bitch.
Man, this guy's a jerk. Who was the guy who said...
The director?
Yeah.
He said it's not really a big part of the curriculum.
How is that not a big part?
It's up on the wall.
It's what your kid looks at every day. That's just... it's literally...
not part of the curriculum.
God.
It's like you walk in, there's a sign that says, be kind. Don't worry, it's not part of the curriculum.
That's
it's
so gaslighting. It's literally
up on the wall.
We don't really care about it. We just, you know, we have it on posters everywhere and indoctrinate the kids and, you know, enforce it every week.
Right. Yeah, no, that was really dismissive. So here's my thing. I'm not a parent and I can only assume that it's hard to make change in the system of a school.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people to go through. You got to get the parents on board. You need to have a petition signed. Like, I assume that would be a whole process. I don't know if it's necessary. And I also don't know if anything would come of it if you did. I think, like, the kids might graduate by the time that you actually enact some change.
But then you leave change for future generations.
Totally. However, this is all I'm going to say. I think that
it's likely a waste of time.
It's likely a waste of time. It's up to you if it's important enough to you mm-hmm. to pursue it with the school. But regardless, I think you do need to be counteracting it at home, which you're already doing.
Right.
But if your kid comes home and is using that kind of language about food, like if you start noticing it.
God, that's so upsetting. Like you've worked so hard.
I know.
To teach your kids these values and they come, they're like, mommy, that's bad.
That's bad for you. Yeah, like that's not what we want. I think if they don't bring it home, like if they don't start saying like, oh, like this is unhealthy as an offhand comment, I think maybe you don't bring it up.
Yeah.
I think if you start to notice that they're internalizing some of that stuff, then you can say up front to your kid, you don't need to worry about that. Like you can still reinforce what you're already saying that everything is okay mm-hmm. to eat because you eat a variety of foods. I think that's totally, you hit the nail on the head. That's what you should be telling your kids. But if they come to you and say like, oh, either we learned in school that this is bad for you, or, oh, I think I need to eat more of this because it's healthier, whatever it may be. You need to make it very clear to your kids that you are choosing for them. Like, they don't need to be worried about this right now.
Yeah, I'm going to pick out what you're going to eat.
Yeah,
I'm your mom.
They're 2 years old and 4 years old. Mm-hmm. That, I think that's too young to be teaching that kind of binary thinking, but this is what we are. This is the culture that we live in.
Yeah.
You just need to be counteracting it at home and letting them know that you are making healthy choices for them right now because you are their parent. I actually saw this happen with my nephew because he learned in school, because they teach this stuff, you know, that fruits are healthy snacks and whatever he's having after school. Like, we take him to Dunkin' Donuts all the time. Like, now he thinks that's unhealthy. Oh, and he brought it home. He even said to my sister at one point, like, I think I need to go on a diet, which...
That sucks.
And it does suck. And it's odd because he's actually... like, in a really low percentile for weight. Like, I don't think he really thinks he needs to go on a diet. I think he's hearing things and he's starting to repeat them.
Yeah.
Which is very concerning. So my sister asked me, just like you're asking me now, like, what do I say to him? And I said exactly what I'm telling you. Say to him, we're making good choices for you. You don't need to worry about what you're eating right now because we're making sure that you get a well-rounded, healthy diet. And that can include all foods. So that's what I would suggest. I think you're going to get really overwhelmed pursuing it with the school. I think you need to worry about your kids right now and like what they're internalizing from this.
So I agree 90% with you.
Okay.
On this. I agree with you that this has to happen in the home, you know, focus on what you can control. It's like what you're feeding your child, the messaging that you're doing with your child at home. But so the way I think about things when I have conflict is I will give myself an allowance of like how much effort I will put into something. You know, I'll be like, okay, I will donate 2 hours of my time to see if I can change this. And if I can't, when I hit 2 hours, I'm going to drop it.
Okay.
So I feel like, you know, because we don't know what the school is. What if it's a private school where everybody listens to the parents? Or maybe she's very close friends with all the parents. Like, you would know better than we would, you know, what kind of school system you have. So if you have a system where you think you could affect change, pick the amount of time and energy you're willing to commit to that, do that. And if you hit it and you haven't created change, don't worry about it. You did what you could. I guess Emily and I have just slightly different advice because I do think mine is like try with very low expectations and with a limit on how far you will push.
Yeah, well, because Lauren's kind of an optimist and I'm kind of like, the school's never going to fucking change this. Like,
I say, you know, try a little bit.
Yeah, like I respect that. And I think like, if you have the energy, if you have it in you to try, then go for it. Like, if this is something that you really care about.
Because then it's just in their brain, at least. You know, it's like with cat callers or something. They're not going to change. But when I'm always just like, I shout at, I say different things. I'll be like.
At cat callers?
Yeah, I go, don't make women feel unsafe. And it like jars them, you know, and maybe they're still going to.
And they go, wow, I'm going to go home tonight and think about the way that I've been talking to women.
No, Emily, what I'm saying is like they're getting used to like if I do X, Y might happen, you know?
Like I'll get pushback.
Yeah, so even if the school doesn't change it, if they have this in their brain, like, oh, some people don't like it when we moralize food, like it could be like a long-term trickle, you planted a seed.
Yeah, that's actually a fair point because if you bring it up and then maybe in the future you spread awareness and other parents bring it up, then they're like, okay, eight different people brought it up. So maybe this is a thing.
I say bring it up with low expectations.
That's fair. I mean, you don't really have anything to lose, right?
Yeah.
But I think in all likelihood, they're not going to take down these signs. I mean, this is verbiage that we've had for a really fucking long time.
Yeah, and like, we can't control the culture around us.
Exactly.
Like, we're just in it.
It's just really hard to fight back against it, right? Mm-hmm. So I think you need to like prioritize your children and what they're going to take away from it. Because it sounds like you've done a really good job teaching them.
You sound like a great mom.
You really do. Like, it sounds like you've done a phenomenal job with them so far, teaching them not to demonize certain foods. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's important to you.
We applaud you.
I definitely, you're fighting the good fight. You can try with the school, but just like really hammer it home to your kids because they look up to you, you know?
Yeah, they're going to listen to you more than a dumb poster anyways.
Truly.
Yeah.
I never listen to the posters in my classroom, if that makes you feel any better.
There.
Yeah, hang in there with the cat on the branch. Those posters, we all make fun of them anyway. So hopefully that makes you feel a little better.
They're cute. That's it for today's episode. Be sure to send your questions to dst@betches.com to get them answered.
Follow us at Everything's Fine on Instagram. And if you like this episode, please write us a review. And don't forget to check out our merch on shop.betches.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And while you're at it, follow me at Lubination.
Follow me at Lauren Hope Crass. And of course, we're always with you
through thick and thin. Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Rebecca Steinberg and Lauren Hope Crass. Editing by Rebecca Steinberg. Social media by Lauren Hope Crass. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. Be sure to follow Diet Starts Tomorrow on all socials and send us your emails to dst@betches.com or your voicemails to 212-287-5650.
Betches.